The following program is a paid production of Mike Novak, LLC. The opinions, rants, confessions, and lame jokes presented are not necessarily the views of WCPT or its parent corporation, NewsWeb Radio.
February is home to one of the most important holidays of the year not to forget, Groundhog Day. If you live outside of Canmerica, then you might not know what a groundhog is, so here you go. This is a groundhog. They're basically giant grumpy squirrels who dig burrows underground. Burrows large enough, in fact, to occasionally make their comfy home a structural hazard to your comfy home. This explains the first half of their name. The second half is because they're kind of fat, though unlike their fellow Canmericans, when winter arrives, they need their excess weight to go into hibernation. The story of the holiday is that on February 2nd, the wise groundhogs wake from hibernation to peek out of their burrow and look at the world. If they see their shadow, they go back inside, which predicts six more weeks of winter. If they don't, then spring will come early. The holiday started in the 1800s as a Pennsylvania Dutch custom of weather prediction, and today is celebrated in Canada and 49 of the 50 states, the exception being Alaska, which in 2009 decided to forego Groundhog Day in favor of Marmot Day. Outside of Alaska, many groundhogs contend with each other to be the king of seasonal weather prediction, their main weapon in this war being their delightful names, such as Queen Charlotte and Sir Walter Wally in North Carolina, Shubenacadie Sam of Nova Scotia, Staten Island Chuck from New York, French Creek Freddy in West Virginia, and Gus from Athens, Georgia. Though this last groundhog is somewhat overshadowed by his neighbor, General Beauregard Lee, who one must assume has stylish facial hair and fans himself on the veranda of his plantation home while drinking mint julep and pining for the day when the South will rise again. 1,000 miles north of the general, Wharton Willie is the Groundhog King of Canada, who throws an annual party to help him stay on top and make sure that the people keep building epic statues of him. But if there could be only one, Puxatony Phil would be him. Not only is his name the most fun to say, but he also has quite a posse of top-hatted tuxedoed men who look after him and call themselves the Inner Circle. According to them, Puxatony Phil has been making predictions since the 1880s. Not a Puxatony Phil, mind you, but this Puxatony Phil, who is functionally immortal because of a magic life-extending elixir the Inner Circle members prepare for him so that he can continue to make predictions and bring in tourist revenue until the end of time. He also speaks a language called Groundhoggese that only the president of the Inner Circle can understand. If you think that Groundhog Day is a dumb, pointless holiday, then there are two things you should consider. First, you have no sense of fun. And second, you better be careful on Groundhog Day, because in addition to their weather-predicting day jobs, these groundhogs also have the magic power to trap you in an infinite time loop until you learn to be less of a jerk. Happy Groundhog Day!
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a pierogi's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davy company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. He's a legendary, charismatic megafauna in his own mind. Here he is, Mike Novak.
I didn't bring my noisemaker. I mean, aren't we supposed to be all going, Happy Groundhog Day?
Oh, and where's the hats?
And the hats?
There's no streamers.
And the groundhog noses?
I can't believe I don't have a groundhog hat.
Sarah.
We should have top hats because, Mike, you own top hats.
We could have brought in top hats for Groundhog Day. So let me see if I get this right. Is a groundhog considered a charismatic megafauna? Maybe Punxsutawney Phil is. And what did he say today? You know, what I love about it is like, if he sees a shadow, there'll be six more weeks of winter. If he doesn't see his shadow. No, wait. If he sees.
Spring's right around the corner.
I always get it wrong.
You know, it's 6 weeks regardless, folks. Regardless of what you think.
Winter's winter.
It's going to be 6 weeks.
Especially this year.
Maybe longer. Holy smoke. And Punxsutawney Rick will be here. We're going to get him on a little earlier today. All right, because in case you hadn't noticed, folks, there's a lot of weather going on. And to be sure, those storms are not named. They do not have names. I just want to let you know.
There's several of them coming this week, too.
Yeah, there's several on the way. It's going to be interesting. Mr. DeMaio will talk to us. And, you know, and record cold and record snow.
I'm embarrassed to say I've not been sledding. I've got to get out. I need to go sledding.
I have 10 nieces and nephews, and I have not been sledding. I don't know anybody I could go sledding with, so you can invite me.
Okay.
I'd probably hurt myself. But
it has been a little cold for sledding.
I haven't been sledding probably in, I don't know, 4 decades, probably something like that. You know, I hadn't thought about that. And speaking of charismatic megafauna, I want to call folks' attention to my website, MikeNovak.net. And usually I tell them to go to this week's show. Just go to the homepage, and you're going to see it's the coolest photo. Are you there yet?
Are we talking about the snowy owl?
Yes.
I was there earlier.
Yeah.
Yes.
The snowy owl at Montrose Point Bird Sanctuary. Frank Hildebrand took that. Frank! Wonderful.
And it's very ironic.
Because the bird is sitting on a sign that says, important bird area.
See, I'm proof. Here I am.
Which is, I love the fact that they have an anagram for it, IBA. Important bird area.
Because that'll flip off. You know, I know all the kids are tweeting that and texting that. Nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
IBAs. Careful, folks, there's an IBA.
I see IBA all over the place. No idea what to do with it. And Frank took this photo. I happened to see it because a friend of mine, Mac Austin, volunteers over there at the Montrose Point Bird Sanctuary. And I read from Audubon, I went to Joel Greenberg's book signing at Piggy Notabart last week.
Oh.
And got handed a newspaper from Audubon. And just for you folks at Audubon, think that nobody looks at them? I looked at it. I read that paper. It's short, like 4 pages. And there were pictures of the snowy owls and a story on how they're not usually seen this far south, but because of the snow and ice. So you folks who are unhappy with the snow and cold and ice, get over it because we've got snowy owls at Montrose Harbor.
I'm going to head over.
It's the coolest thing. I was talking to Doris Taylor at the Morton Arboretum last week, and she was going to go. She said, she and her friends, it depended on the weather, whether there was going to be a huge snowstorm. She said, we're either going out to the Mississippi to look at eagles or to Montrose Harbor to look at snowy owls. And I thought, either one, it's a winner.
Fabulous choices.
Yeah, really. It's easier to just go to, well, it might not actually be easier to go to Montrose Harbor. But we've got a link there to Hildebrand Photography if you want to see more of Frank Hildebrand's work. Do me a favor. Let's give him the Mike Novak bounce. What do we call it? Bump. Yeah. And go to his Facebook page and like him because it's a terrific photograph. And any of the rest of you who are listening have seen the snowy owls at,
let us know
at Montrose. Yeah. That's awfully cool.
You can always give us a call at 773-763-WCPT.
That number again.
773-763-9278.
You're good.
You should do that more often.
All right. And Sarah, how else can they connect with us?
We're on Twitter and Facebook.
And the handles?
At Mike Now. And I guess the Mike Novak Show on
Facebook. That's it. Right. Yeah. The Mike Novak Show on Facebook with a W. And today on the show, be prepared to be embarrassed. This is normally a family show. However, we have Helen Yost on the program this morning, who has written a book called Plants with Benefits, An Uninhibited Guide to the Aphrodisiac Herbs, Fruits, Flowers, and Veggies in Your Garden. And we talk about things like avocados and asparagus.
Really? I was shocked when I saw that on your homepage.
What?
I don't know that those are aphrodisiacs.
Cloves. She's got cloves in here. I think of the dentist when I...
My grandmother cooks with cloves. I don't want to know this.
Your grandmother has secrets, Lisa. You didn't know. Isn't that disturbing? Just think about that. So Helen Yost will be on in just a couple of minutes. Rick DeMaio weather. Try to get him on a little early today so that we can get through all this stuff that's happening. It's crazy out there, but the snowy owls are here. And then in the second hour, Julie Rizzo, who hasn't been on this show in 4 years. I believe she was on in 2010, back when we were in the old studios on South Pulaski. She's with Recycled Granite, a very cool outfit. You'll appreciate this, Lisa. You
know. I know of them from going to Green Building workshop.
That is a success story.
It's really cool. What they're doing on every level, whether it's just recycling the product and then the social aspect. It's a great company.
So, well, you know some about that, too. So just joining the conversation. And she's bringing Debbie Coble with her, who's the president and CEO of Goodwill Industries of Michiana, Inc. And the two are collaborating. And I said to Julie, I said, well, Goodwill doesn't accept construction
materials.
How does this work? And she said, aha, we'll tell you. But Goodwill is great because they've been recycling and reusing forever. They're sort of the old school way of doing it, and which is new school. Because when you can't think of how to get rid of, say, your clothes, you know, textiles, Goodwill is your answer. In fact, I want to ask her about that because it's way too hard to recycle textiles in America. It's just crazy. We used to have rag pickers go through our landfills and
really
save that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Well, Kirk Douglas. His autobiography, I believe, is Rag Picker's Son, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh.
His dad did that. So, and we used to do that in this country. We need to get back to it. So, there you go. Lots going on in the show. I hope you'll join in. Plants with Benefits coming up in just a second. Now, February 2nd is the most important holiday of the year. Seriously, you heard at the top of the show about groundhogs. What could be more important than a mutant rat telling us whether spring will ever arrive again? And you know that when that rodent goes back to his burrow, he settles down with a copy of Chicagoland Gardening magazine. In fact, he might be looking at the January-February issue right now. He might be reading the article about forcing bulbs. If you have kids and you want to show them how easy it is to garden, you could start with some paper whites or even amaryllis bulbs that will practically turn into flowers right before their eyes. They're easy to find and even easier to grow. Just add pot, soil, water, and bada bing, bada boom, there you have it. There's an article in there right now that will walk you through the steps so you don't look like an idiot to your own child. And then there's my column on the inside back page. Just forget the fact that my amaryllis bulbs turned to mush in minus 19 degree weather when the door to the basement flew open. Most kids think I'm an idiot anyway. But then they've never tasted my amaryllis pate. I'm not sure if it's aphrodisiac in quality. Pick up a copy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine immediately. Better yet, get a subscription. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish Chicago's only local magazine dedicated to healthy and sustainable living. Natural Awakenings is available monthly, and we provide the latest news and trends about healthful living, including alternative and complementary medicine, fitness, good food and drink, healthy kids and families, and even healthy pets. Natural Awakenings also talks about local sustainability, gardening and environment, energy conservation, and green living. We feature local news and a calendar to help you stay connected. I can guarantee that each month you'll discover a new health tip, a tasty recipe, a service in your neighborhood, something that makes your life better. Natural Awakenings is free and available throughout the city and suburbs or online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
It's time to step in the green room.
Life's a garden, dig it. You make it work for you.
I want a girl with a mind like a diamond. I want a girl who knows what's best. I want a girl with shoes that cut and eyes that burn like cigarettes.
You see, I had to go from our intro to In the Green Room with Mike to something a little funkier because we are bringing in Helen Yost, who's queen of funk and queen of plants with benefits. Helen Yost, good morning.
Good morning.
I put the book down, and now I have to share it with all of my friends. And I noticed that as I was getting ready to interview you, my phone started buzzing like crazy and dinging. And I assume that's because people all over the country are saying, oh, Helen Yost is going to be on the show. What?
A little early morning pickup. Huh?
A little early morning. and we use pickup euphemistically, don't we?
Well, maybe.
Okay, and I'm sure you know what's going to happen. And I know it's already happened with you. You happened to score an interview. Congratulations, by the way, on the book, because everybody's paying attention. Gosh, I can't even imagine why.
I don't either. You know, I'm just this mild-mannered gardener from Raleigh, North Carolina, and all of a sudden people are interested now in shapes of plants.
You know, you write about SEX and they all come running, don't they? That you've got a write-up in the New York Times. You've got all kinds of stuff lined up. You told me I'm your first radio interview, right?
I am, and the first live, too. So. Oh, my gosh.
All right. Here we go. And I know that I've already figured out that the standard question that everybody's going to ask is, why did you decide to write this book? And I've decided that I'm going to put a spin on that. I'm not going to be like everybody else. My question is, what the heck were you thinking when you wrote this book?
I was thinking that there was something interesting to be told with plants. I had originally wanted to write a book on the benefits of plants, the senses, from the senses standpoint. And my editor got the idea that we needed to kind of carry that clever name, as he says, through to it being about central plants.
So it's your editor's fault.
It is. Paul Kelly. It is at St. Lin's Press. It is definitely his fault.
By the way, the name of the book is Plants with Benefits, An Uninhibited Guide to the Aphrodisiac Herbs, Fruits, Flowers, and Veggies in Your Garden. And yes, it's exactly what you think it is, folks. Okay.
It is.
She has all kinds of words in that book that I am just not going to say on the radio on a Sunday morning.
I can't. I couldn't either. I mean, if you asked me some specifics, like I heard Sarah mention cloves. No, I'm not going to say.
Don't go down Clove Road.
I'm not going down the Clove Road. You're going to have to read it yourself.
But you know, I wrote some of them on my website. Like you refer to the Big O.
The website is Mike Nova.
Mike Nova.
That website?
That website. Hey, thank you.
I listened to the post-show meeting the other day.
Actually, wow, somebody who wasn't asleep at the post-show meeting last week.
See, and I'm trying to put it in.
That's amazing.
I've called out the radio show now. I've called out the website.
MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show, and you will find photos of veggies that are enticing, shall we say. And you'll see words like the Big O, libido, blood flow, histamine production, aromatherapy, pheromones, potency. I don't know how much further I want to go.
Yeah, you might stop right there.
There are people on their way to church right now.
Well, that's good because, you know, the whole idea... I'm going to back up just a little bit. When Paul says, you know, let's do it, I thought, okay, well...
I beg your pardon?
There.
He said what?
He said, let's do it.
No,
the book, yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I misunderstood for a second.
He said, let's do it. And I said, well, I'm not sure really what's out there. So, you know, I started poking around and...
I beg your pardon?
I think you already know what you're in for the rest of the show.
Yes, you wrote the book, lady.
Okay, wait a minute.
I'm just the radio guy.
Wait a minute, I'm blushing. Wait a minute. Can you see the red?
A little bit.
Can you feel the red?
Just keep talking. I'll find a...
You'll poke a hole in it. I know.
I'm going to have to turn off my mic. All right, just keep talking. Just explain.
Okay. So I wasn't sure what was out there. And the first thing I came across was avocado. I was doing another story. I sort of story on avocados for something else, you know, gardening. And then I learned some history and lore about the avocado, which was fascinating to me. And I started poking around. There we go again. With some more plants. And it was like, oh, the stories that were out there, the lengths that we went to procreate. So it's very appropriate on a Sunday morning.
All I have to say after reading this book is that Pliny the Elder has a lot to answer for.
Oh, he was busy. He was just a busy, busy man.
By the way, he was a Roman. And you know about those Romans.
I know, yes. Mm-hmm. You'll learn a lot about the Romans in the book. And again, you talk about lengths that people went to. They were...
I beg your pardon?
Yes. They were. They went to great lengths to procreate.
Dioscorides. Who's Dioscorides?
Well, he's the Greek guy, right? You know,
right.
Busy.
How would you actually pronounce that?
Oh, don't ask me. I'd have to go Google that. I can write it, and I can read it. But of course, it's, you know, not...
It's probably Dioscorides.
Dioscorides, Dioscorides.
I don't know.
Plant doctor.
You know, that's the thing about writing the stuff. If at some point, you might want to go through and find out how to pronounce them, because if you're going to do more radio and TV, you're going to need to know some of this.
Yeah, you're right. I'll work on that. Mm-hmm.
But the point is that... with a lot of these vegetables, we've known for millennia that they have certain properties. Or, as you point out in the book, people believed they had certain properties. And the question is, how do you find out what stories are true and which are not true?
Right. Right.
And so how do you?
Well, I laid everything out in kind of four categories, which are, simply put, they were either a suggestion. If it looks like a duck and walks like a duck, then
quack.
Quack. Heat, which is brain chemistry, and that kind of stimulated the mind to tell the body what to do, and it kind of put you in a receptive mood. And then hormones. There were plants that mimic testosterone and estrogen, and so it increased your libido, which is what I found fascinating. And then just overall good health. Some plants were really, really just healthy. And a good example of this is the avocado tree, because 2,000-3,000 years ago, they couldn't have known how healthy an avocado was for you. But at the time, it was considered an aphrodisiac because of the way it grew. It grows in pairs, and it was dubbed the testicle tree. And it was so important to them.
Well, really, it does. You know,
I mean, you look at that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but you got half a dozen of them in there that have that same kind of look.
Well, you know, it was so important to them at the time that...
And then you got your cucumbers. Come on.
Well, there you go. And a cucumber, again, is very good for you, but it has a suggestion. But the Aztecs would lock up their virgin daughters during harvest time for fear that it might, you know, the workers might get excited and the girls might start flattering the attention. And, you know, they wanted to protect their daughters. So, I mean, it was a powerful suggestion.
Well, you know, one of the things that I'm prepared for today, and I have to play this for you because you're going to encounter this in your book tour, and it's Fred from Super Chicken saying...
You knew the job was dangerous when you took it, Fred.
Okay. You have to. You're going to. And there's going to be other interviewers who are going to say,
Hey, no, we're not done.
All right. We're just going to want more and more information.
Well, there you go, you know, and I'm just going to have to handle it.
I know.
I have to handle it.
When you wrote this book...
You knew the job was dangerous when you took it, Fred.
Okay. That's Helen Yost on the phone. The book is Plants with Benefits, an uninhibited guide to the aphrodisiac herbs, fruits, flowers, and veggies in your garden. Okay. A couple of specifics. I am kind of surprised at cucumber. Cucumber seems, I don't know, bland, kind of uninspiring. The shape is interesting, obviously. But cucumber, and what was the other one I was just looking at? Celery. Come on, really? I know people who eat celery. What I heard about celery once, and I don't know if it's actually true, maybe you can tell me, that you actually consume more calories eating celery and digesting it than you get from eating it.
That too. I found that really interesting. It's probably true. It kind of makes sense.
And yeah, I've heard it's a negative calorie food.
Yeah.
So if you ate nothing but celery, you would be, your libido would be through the roof and you would be as skinny as a rail.
Well, yep. And the Italian lover Casanova believed in it so much that he ate celery every day just to keep things alive.
Well, if Casanova, if it's good enough for Casanova.
Exactly.
Casanovac.
I had heard that coconut is actually a libido suppressant, and that it's used often in Asia in prisons in order to bring down sexual issues in the prison, you know, when you've got, you know, tons of men incarcerated together.
I didn't research that.
I do
believe it. And there are some plants even that I talked about in the book, like papaya. Papaya, when it's ripe, is considered an aphrodisiac, but not when it's green.
Mm.
So that's why I suggest that.
Really, who would want to eat a papaya when it's green, though?
but
yeah. Well, yeah.
So but Helen, that's...
If you're trapped on a desert island, you really probably just want to eat the green, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got your second book, Debbie Downer. All right, so it will be all the plants that keep you in check.
But I always thought it was interesting to, you know, when I heard that, you know, because I'm sure that is an issue within the prison system, and so using food to help control those problems is an interesting concept, as opposed to medication or increased security or, you know, many of the other more harmful, combative ways that you could tackle that issue, but to instead introduce new things into the diet to, you know, kind of bring that, those levels down.
I wonder if they know that when they're eating it, or they're just thinking, coconut again.
So let's go through a couple
more.
Well,
it worked at Gilligan's Island, too. I mean, Come on. There was nothing happening there.
You're right, and that's right. It was all coconuts.
A three-hour tour. Folks should know, they pick up this book, and it's a lovely little book with not only recipes in there, but you explain the plants and some of the best varieties of them. You have growing tips. You explain why these plants might do what they are supposed to do or are reported to do, and why they might not. And it's all in this handy-dandy little book that I think folks are going to really be very interested in.
Oh, thank you. I'm hoping that people understand that it's what it is. You know, it's just it's a tongue-in-cheek. It's a look at history and lore. It's meant to be fun, not a prescription for... I don't know.
Darn.
Fertility.
Oh, come on.
It'll be fun trying. I mean, it will be fun trying.
A number of these plants, like mint, like cloves, there's some others. You're just supposed, the reason they inspire people is because they just make your mouth fresher.
Yeah.
I kind of like this. Like, well, you know.
Because I wondered that because garlic and onion is listed on the... So I would think that would also be a deterrent, but apparently not.
Well, it's both with garlic, right, Helen?
Well, if one person has it, then it's not, you know, very attractive. But when both are eating it, then it is very much so an aphrodisiac, and the smell, and you know, to the point where Tibetan monks are forbidden from eating garlic
because of that. I've forgotten. Yes, I knew that. I've forgotten that.
Yeah. So no sex or garlic. I mean,
oh, you know, just shoot me now, okay? If without garlic.
Forget the sex. Without garlic.
No, both. Actually, it's like without garlic. Both. Forget it. Life is not worth living. And then, of course, you know, it's interesting. It's kind of fun. it doesn't mean anything, really. But how many of these foods I eat already? I'm not sure it has done me that much good. What?
It might mean everything.
It might mean everything in the world.
Yeah.
It might explain this whole radio show. okay. I have one that just had me scratching my head. Oats. Now, how do you add oats to the list of aphrodisiac foods?
Well, I mean, I thought oats was fun to add because of, you know, sowing wild oats and really what that meant.
Well,
sort of thing. But it really is the oat.
Wait a second. Thank you very much. Okay, there we go.
Oh, okay. What?
That's for the wild oats reference.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Little rim shot.
I stretched that one a little bit because it was just really kind of fun to add. But you can.
So you're like me. You're just making this stuff up as you go along.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
No, but you can make a nice like cleansing drink with ground oats, like you would like a wheat drink, but do it with oats, and then of course oatmeal. How healthy is that? It's probably one of the healthiest things you can have for breakfast. Add dates to it, and then you've got two aphrodisiacs, maybe put a little nutmeg on it. You got three.
Look out.
Talk about, you know, the trifecta.
The nutmeg reference, I wrote about this on my website, as you wrote in the book. Be careful with this one. Those nuts on your spice rack have a kick to them. Nutmeg is well known in the medical community to be a narcotic. In large doses, it can be hallucinogenic, and too much can even cause death. Keep your use of nutmeg to eggnog, pies, and a porridge sprinkling for a quick perk up. Malcolm X used nutmeg to get high while in prison when his marijuana stash ran low. You may want to hide it from the kids.
I don't know, right?
Coo-coo-coo-choo, Mrs. Robinson. that's an interesting one. But my favorite quote from the book is a study conducted by the Smell and Taste Treatment Research Foundation in Chicago. First of all, who knew? And it's right in town. What? Send me over there.
I was going to say you should have signed up for the trial.
I should have signed up for the trial. Anyway, a study conducted by the Smell and Taste Treatment Research Foundation in Chicago exposed men to a variety of food aromas and then graded the level of their sexual arousal by measuring the blood flow to their genital regions. Lavender, in combination with pumpkin, measured a 40% increase in blood flow. This is significant when compared to cheese pizza, which only showed an increase of 5%, or buttered popcorn at 9%. Wow. So all those guys sitting around today watching the Stupid Bowl should be, you know, getting a hold of some lavender and pumpkin, right?
And putting it on top of their pizza.
Yeah. Putting it on top of the. Wow, that's. There's a taste threat. I mean, treat. Well, I have to thank you so much for sending this to me and for writing the book. It's made Sunday morning very entertaining. I hope to a few other people. Folks, you can pick it up. It's Plants with Benefits. I have links to my website. It is published by St. Lin's Press. And your official publication date was just yesterday, wasn't it?
Yes, it is just officially out. It's already on back order at Amazon, but don't let that stop you.
Well, when you get rich, let me know.
Oh.
And, yes.
It'll be a while. We'll be dead.
And, of course, Lisa has already grabbed the book, so I will probably not see it again.
Done.
Already read it.
Helen,
gone.
It's great talking to you, Helen. Have a wonderful Sunday, and congratulations and good luck with the book.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, take care now. Here's a tip from the care of trees. How do we just go, you know, from libido into the care of trees? Here's a tip from the care of trees. Did you know that prospective home buyers decide if they are interested in a home within the first 2 minutes of seeing it? Trees and landscaping have everything to do with that first impression, adding immensely to a home's curb appeal. They can add as much as 20% to a home's value. Think about that, 20%. The care of trees can help you sell your home faster and obtain top dollar for it by ensuring that your home landscape is as attractive as possible. Even relatively minor expenditures on landscape improvements can pay off. Pruning, mulching, edging, and replacing damaged shrubs can make a big difference in the length of time on the market and the selling price. Talk to a certified arborist at The Care of Trees. How about your curb appeal and how to improve it? Call 800-508-9466, 800-508-9466, or see thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees.
If you've ever filed a lawsuit, you know that it can be stressful, even traumatic. And if you've been exposed to asbestos, silica dust, or other lung toxins, you're going to need a law firm that can guide you through the legal maze efficiently and effectively. The attorneys of Penn Rakowski are exactly who you're looking for. They view each client and their needs as unique. They're focused on one thing and one thing only, lung disease. And they're based right here in Illinois and Wisconsin. The lawyers at Penn Rakowski have been representing individuals suffering from lung disease and their families for a combined 35 years. And because they're local, they can come to you. They've successfully represented asbestos workers, electricians, carpenters, machinists, and others throughout both states. Contact Penn Rakowski at dustlaw.com or call them toll-free at 888-LUNG-LAW. That's 888-586-4529. Penn Rakowski, local, committed, caring.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687, for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
This is in honor of Sarah Batka.
Yay, I love it.
You love your stones.
I do, thank you.
And of course, it's also in honor of the book, Plants with Benefits, Little Brown Sugar. Woohoo!
Nice.
I think she mentions brown sugar in there. I just saw one of the tweets that came through that said it would make a great Valentine's Day gift. Of course.
Yeah, and pair it with one of the recipes from the book.
Yeah, get the book.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
Yeah, get the book, do the recipe, wrap it in a pink ribbon, and you're off to the races. All righty. Let's go to the phones before I get in trouble. Bring in Punxsutawney Rick. How you doing, Rick?
I'm doing well. I'm Punxsutawney Rick. Is that it?
Punxsutawney Rick.
What about Sir Walter Wally?
I heard that one mentioned at the top of the show.
Yeah, that's down in Raleigh, North Carolina. We also have Staten Island Chuck from the Staten Island Zoo.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. There's Gus from...
I think every groundhog should be called Gus, right? looks like a Gus.
They all do. You're right. And it's funny...
They don't name their kids Gus anymore, do they? Hey, Gus.
You know what? I know a guy named Gus. Love him. He runs a tavern on the northwest side of Chicago. In fact, I'm going to...
That's a good name for a bartender, right? Hey, Gus, pour me a cold one.
Exactly. That's a name for a groundhog and a bartender.
Yeah, not like William. Bartender should be called William. But yeah, I like that. And there's also Wharton Willie, believe it or not, from Wharton, Ontario, Canada. We have Jimmy in Wisconsin, Buckeye Chuck from where else but Ohio, French Creek from West Virginia, and Cajun Groundhog from Louisiana.
And I don't know if you heard, at the top of the show, I play a thing that I found on the internet, and it's out of Canada. They call themselves Can-Americans, I guess, which is not bad, actually. I didn't know that Alaska had opted out of the whole Groundhog Day thing. They have a day in honor of marmots.
Oh, yeah, which are basically another form of groundhogs, I guess. Marmots are a little bit cuter, right?
You're asking me. By the way, I wanted to give a plug to my friend Gus Chamopoulos. No, honest to God, because, and I was just looking, he's at Moore Public House, which is an Irish, he's Greek, and he's the bartender at an Irish restaurant and bar at 5310 West Devon in Chicago. There you go, Gus. You got yourself a little plug.
Say Mike Novak and you get 10% off your Bloody Mary on a Sunday morning. Right?
Say Mike Novak, you'll be grabbed by the scruff of your neck and escorted out the building.
Yeah, that guy owes us a tab.
Yeah, exactly. So, hey, dude, this is getting crazy here in Chicago this winter, isn't it?
Oh, but don't you love it?
I do. I know a lot of people who hate it.
I do.
I'm enjoying every second of it. I think it's a, you know, for you kids out there listening, this is what winters used to look like in Chicago.
And you know, the interesting thing about it is we may not see something like this again for 30 years. And people will say, well, we've had some snowy winters in the past. And, you know, really in the last 5 years, we've had snowy winters. But you know what? They came in bunches. The snowstorms did. They were big snows. And the thing about it, Mike, is those storms literally, they melted away within a week and a half. This hasn't melted away.
No.
We had one minor melt-off about, what was it, 3 weekends ago.
Yeah, when my basement flooded, yes.
Right. But O'Hare actually still held on to an inch of snow. So we are now, I think, up to 36 consecutive days with at least an inch of snow on the ground. And everything from what I can see says we're due for at least another 15 to 20 days on top of that of at least keeping an inch of snow. So gone is the type of pattern that we would talk about so frequently around here where you would get snow and then you would get these massive warm-ups and you'd get rain and the snow was gone. This winter is completely different. And you know what? It's really having an impact, not only economically, but I think socially. Things have slowed down. I was out Friday night driving down Lakeshore Drive about 8 o'clock, and the roads were empty. And it was bizarre because, obviously, there was a forecast out for snow, but the snow really wasn't going to hit until, you know, late at night or midnight. And typically, you know, Chicagoans are, well, you know, we've had it before, but I think people have literally been beaten into submission of giving up. It's like, okay, you win. We'll wait until March 21st.
I like that. They've just given up. They've been beaten into saying, okay, it's going to snow. I'm going inside and I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah. And then they, you know, they hear a weather forecast of like yet another system. You know, I know Lisa was alluding to this earlier. You know, possibly two more coming through, one which clearly is going to give us anywhere between 6 and maybe 8 inches of snow Tuesday into Wednesday. And then long-range models still having a little bit of trouble with the thing coming through here next Saturday. But, you know, yesterday's 4 inches at O'Hare was an easy storm because it started late Friday night. It was Saturday morning. It was 30 degrees. The roads were wet. that was 6 to 8 inches, though, across southern Cook County and the Will County. So it turned out to be a 4 to 8 incher, not a 6 to 10. I think everybody got kind of, you know, a little carried away with how much snow we were going to get. But, you know, all of a sudden we're looking at 52.6 inches of snow, you know, at O'Hare officially, and I think up to 54 at Midway. And here it is, Groundhog Day, February 2nd, and we're sitting at the, you know, the sixth or the seventh snowiest winter ever, and we still have 6 more weeks of winter left. Groundhog or no groundhog?
Well, the groundhog had a snow shovel this morning. That's all I know.
Yeah, that would have been funny. He came out with a Patagonia top on and a hat and gloves, right?
Whatever, and hand warmers. I guess that would be paw warmers for
warmers, yeah.
I have to interrupt you because I don't know if you heard the conversation before this about Plants with Benefits, the book. I just got a post from Nick Beaton, who's one of our listeners. He says, "My wife Diana just asked for some nutmeg on her coffee." So we're affecting people here in Chicago.
Oh, Diana.
Yeah. Good for her. Right.
She just became a loyal listener.
Yeah.
A little bit of bourbon there and you'll set.
I'm not sure that that's one of those healthy things, but, you know, on a Sunday morning, who cares?
Yeah, right.
So we've got so we're on our way to you know, you, as you said, maybe by the end of the week. And by the way, you keep sending me those forecasts, Rick. I post them on Facebook, and people, well, they don't exactly love them, but they're informed and they're happy to have that information. Me, I'm just kind of watching it all and saying, "Wow, this is really interesting."
I feed them to Rebecca, and she takes care of them. So if there's anything that comes out screwy, blame it on her.
Okay, I will.
You know, if we can, let's run through some of these numbers, Mike. We finished up the month of January with the average high temperature of 24.6 degrees. That's about 6.5 below normal. The average low was 6.7 below normal, which is 9. Actually, the average low was 6.7. That makes the average low 9.8 degrees below normal. So this is one of the things that meteorologists look at. We just don't look at one number. We look at the highs and the lows. So the lows were almost 3.5 degrees lower than normal than the high temperatures. And that's really a true sign of not only how cold it was, but how extreme the cold was. You could actually go back and even look at, you know, how many days we were actually below zero, things like that. Overall, though, the month itself was 15.7 degrees average, which is 8 degrees below normal. That makes it the coldest January since 1985. And the 10th coldest in 144 years. And that's really saying much. When you have numbers like that, and you can go back 30 years, and then you can look at January 79, which a lot of people, you know, still is the benchmark of how bad winter can get. You had mentioned this last week, that this was when you first arrived in Chicago from Michigan. You know, that winter, or that January, we had 12.4 degrees average temperature, making that the fifth coldest. And the amount of snow we had that January was, you know, was right around, you know, 40 inches or so. Even though this January had 33.5 inches, you know, a lot could be said about when the snow falls, where it's concentrated. So you can almost say that this January was almost just as bad as that particular month when you look at when it fell, how it fell, and what type of snow it was. You know, wet snow is one thing, but we've all seen this winter, we've had a lot of these dry, fluffy snows on road temperatures that were like 5 degrees above zero, making it extremely difficult to get around. So it's been a very, very challenging month, without a doubt.
I have to admit that I was, you know, I did a report on the show several weeks ago about the various salt treatments you can use, whether it's sodium chloride or sodium calcium chloride or potassium chloride.
Yeah.
Salt is salt, and it's going to do some damage to your plants. Right. It's going to do some damage to the water. I have gotten to the point where I don't even put stuff down anymore, and if you just keep up with the shoveling, it pretty much, because we're at the time of year now, if you get any sun at all, it melts whatever's left.
Right. And I don't know if you've done this, but in the middle of the day, if you've driven north of Belmont on Lakeshore Drive and the sun is out, it literally looks like someone took a spray can with white paint and painted everything. And all of that is obviously soft. And I feel so bad for these trees and bushes and shrubs and lawns that had literally been inundated, not so much with the road salt, but with the road salt spray that could go on for 2 or 3 days. So one thing that I noticed yesterday, this was probably an extremely beneficial snow because it fell at about 30 degrees. It had a lot of wetness to it. It clung to the trees, and then it melted on the trees, and whatever salt that was on there probably had a chance to run off a little bit.
It probably did help, and you're absolutely right. This is one of the bad things about this winter is, A, the roads, as you know, it's like driving on the moon in Chicago.
Yeah, if you don't give yourself 10 feet between you and the car in front of you, you're going to hit their pothole.
Exactly.
You're playing like one of those video games from the early 1980s where the cars are going up some alleyway, and then every once in a while something would come from the left or the right. You just go left, right.
And I can't even imagine how they're going to fix this in the spring. It's going to take a lot of money because even roads that seemed like they were in good shape going into this winter have huge potholes in them. And second, as you pointed out so well, is the plant material. A lot of trees are going to take hit.
Yeah.
Shrubs, trees, you're going to see, I suspect you're going to see die off in the spring because of all the salt.
Yeah, unless there is something that they can do from a preventative measure, like literally just go down Lakeshore Drive with one of those huge fire hoses and just spray everything on the first nice warm day. No, seriously, I would hope that maybe someone in what's left of the Department of Environment at the City of Chicago has the sense to maybe do that, because otherwise you're just ripping out trees and putting in new stuff, and it's probably going to happen again. This could be one of those things where maybe we learn something about how Mother Nature says, look, you can plant all the trees in the world, but if you don't take care of them the right way in an urban environment, you're just going to lose.
Well, here's the problem with that. That salt goes into the ground below the trees, goes into the root ball, the root system under the canopy, and there's really not much you can do about it.
There isn't an antithesis of salt, something else that you could...
It's called removing the soil and putting in fresh.
That's not going to happen.
No, that's
and
not going to happen.
And when all of this does melt...
It's going to be... I've seen it before on Lakeshore Drive where, I want to say a couple of decades ago, they planted these pines along the road, and they were dead in a couple of years. And I was sure it was because of the exposure and the salt spray. But let's get to the forecast, because we've got another storm coming in Tuesday, possibly one in the weekend, and it's the numbers are still up in the air, aren't they?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, so far we've had 17 days of at or below zero temperatures. We're going to hit 18 today, I should say overnight, because this cold air that's come through beyond the storm system that just passed through will make it probably overnight temperature down about -5. So sunny today up to about, we'd say, maybe 18, 19 degrees. Tomorrow somewhere in the mid-teens. The next storm hits on Tuesday. This one is going to have a little bit more punch to it. The last one kind of drifted a little bit down to the south. It didn't really get going. But right now, all the numerical guidance shows anywhere between 6 and as much as 8 inches of snow across the area. Pretty much north to south, I think, is going to be about the same. You go a little bit further northwest of Illinois, a little bit left. Southeastern sections, central Illinois, central Indiana, a little bit more. So we're standing at... right now, nearly 52 inches of snow for the year, Mike. We could easily be, by the end of the week, up to 60, and that would put us at the fourth or the third snowiest winter ever. And then we'll get a little bit of a break, but the break is going to be cold weather. So the snow ends Wednesday night. We get right back into below zero temperatures Thursday and maybe even Friday. So by the end of the week, we could be sitting at 60 inches of snow for the year, and 20 days at or below zero temperatures for the year, which would probably put us probably in the top three worst winters of all time. And that's really saying something. And again, we're only looking at the first week of February at this point. Next system that comes through is probably going to go more so to the south. There's still a little bit of disagreement with this, but the pattern overall suggests that the four lanes of highway polar vortex air that have been coming straight out of Canada.
Please, please, that's the bipolar vortex. Thank you.
Bipolar vortex has basically broken off. So we have two of these lanes coming straight out of Canada, the other two now coming around, say, California into the desert southwest. And that's picking up not only Pacific moisture, but Gulf of Mexico moisture. That's what we call a split flow. And split flows for us typically produce a very active winter pattern with a lot of snow. So the next one looks like it's going to go just to the south of us, but we could still easily squeeze out 4 or 5 inches out of this. After that, the pattern gets a little quiet, but unfortunately, after that, we get right back into cold weather. So we could be looking at Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of the following week with more below zero temperatures. So by the time we get to the middle of February, you're looking at probably 65 inches of snow and maybe 22 to 23 days of sub-zero weather, which, again, is probably rivaling even the worst winter back in 78, 79, and 77, 78. And it's interesting to know, you know, we talked a little bit last week about Alaska. Early this week, they had the all-time record temperature in Alaska for the month of January tied at a phenomenal 62 degrees. There's people posting pictures of their lawns. The lawns are green. And if you look back at the times that Chicago had their coldest Januarys ever, it always coincided with a very warm January and February. So I know people want to run and say global warming, climate change. I agree the climate is changing, but these type of patterns have happened in the past. It's nothing anomalous. It's just that I think we're probably seeing it for the first time in about 30 years and making a lot more out of it than it is, and that's okay.
Yeah, there's a yin and a yang, as we've pointed out on the show before. If we're cold, Alaska's warm, or Europe is warm, or Russia's warm, you know, whatever.
And this has been happening for 100 years, so I don't want anybody to get too excited over the fact that the world is going to come to an end. It's not.
Well, it will someday. Maybe maybe not in the next couple of weeks.
I just don't want to be there to see it, Mike.
All right. Well, fabulous forecast. Fabulously done. For a lot of people, it's not a fabulous forecast. It's just more of the same.
And I'm going to get out there to Montrose Harbor and check out those snowy out. I'm looking forward to it.
It's really cool. And I just had a tweet from somebody who said, I thought the Department of the Environment had been disbanded. It has been.
Whatever's left of it.
That was sarcasm on Mr. DeMaio's part. Punxsutawney, Rick, thank you so much. You have a great Groundhog Day. You watching the Stupid Bowl?
I will be looking forward to Renee Fleming's rendition of God Bless America and whatever other songs she could sing.
Okay. I'll talk to you next week.
Take care, Mike.
All right. In the second hour, let's talk about recycled granite. Let's talk about Goodwill Industries doing good stuff and teaching people how to reuse and how they're working together. I hope you stick around for that.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Roll over Beethoven, tell Tchaikovsky the news. I got the rockin' pneumonia. I need a shot of rhythm and blues.
I caught the road. And the very woman who started that company that you just heard about, Recycled Granite, is sitting opposite me. And she is Julie Rizzo. Welcome, Julie.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Okay. Well, how would you think of the new digs? Last time you were here, it was on the south side of Chicago.
Beautiful. You know, I'm glad to be here, so thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. You had to travel a little further, because I know you're an Indiana girl.
Yeah, not too far. 45 minutes, an hour. Not too bad.
On a Sunday morning, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
And now, is it Coble? Is that how you pronounce it? Okay. Debbie Coble is also here, President and CEO, Goodwill Industries of Michiana, Inc. Thank you for making the schlep into Chicago as well.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to need to turn your mic on. Okay, that would help. There we go. That's my responsibility. Duh. But before we do, Sarah, I had forgotten all about Super Soak.
How could you forget?
I don't know. I forget things. I can forget my name.
And it's the Chinese New Year.
today
celebration
too. Wow.
In Chinatown today. So lots to celebrate.
That's right. You're going to go to the Chinese New Year. But tell me about Super So Sunday, because I have celebrated it in the past, and it's where a lot of folks on Twitter go back and forth and talk about the great seeds they have and what they're planting. Now, to be sure, you shouldn't be planting all your seeds on Super So Sunday. This is really early in the game. Certain ones you might get away with. And I don't even off the top of my head know what those are going to be. Maybe some of our folks can tweet to us and let us know which ones they are sowing today.
A lot of your Asian greens can tolerate a Mizuna, I think, can tolerate a light frost.
Mm-hmm.
So you can start those now.
Stuff that you're going to get out early in the season if you want a head start. Of course, a lot of the early in the season stuff you can direct sow as well. And I'm wondering what our community garden's going to look like after all this snow disappears. Probably like dirt. But if folks want, who are following us on Twitter, go to at Mike Now. Tell us what you're sowing on Super Sow Sunday. And let's not forget that some of these folks are in different parts of the country. There are people all over the country. So you can get away with more, say you're in North Carolina. And I know, Helen Yost and, I've gotten some notices from folks listening in North Carolina. Big shout out to North Carolina, or California. Of course, in California, there's no water. Sorry about that. Annie Haven out there, with Haven Brand, Moo Poo Tea. I'd be happy to know what's going on. So I tell you what, Sarah, if you're getting, tweets, cause you're, Sarah's the Twitter person today and Lisa is the Facebook person. See, Julie, I've got these folks and they're just going full tilt boogie the whole show. It's just, it's my peeps here.
They make you look good, huh?
That's right.
Sounds good.
It's really hard for me to make myself look good. Let us know. What it is you're sowing today on Super Sow Sunday. I think that would be
okay.
Cool, and we'll get that word out. All right.
And is sow, because I posted on Facebook, is it S-E-W? Is that the right?
S-O-W.
S-O?
Super Sow, as in sowing seeds.
See, I didn't know. That's why I asked.
You got to ask. That's okay. And it's,
I am a seamstress, so I think everything is S-E-W.
And in fact, if you hashtag it, hashtag Super Sow Sunday... I know.
Hashtag.
I know. It's annoying. It's annoying for us because now Facebook is starting to use hashtags.
And I don't understand them.
It's just a way of, categorizing something. So you could actually go to Facebook and in the box at the top, hashtag whatever. So if you hashtagged right now, Super Soul Sunday. All right. I'm wondering.
Do I make it one word?
Yes. Make it Sunday. I just did it, and let's see what comes up. Super So Sunday, see? And hit enter, and it's going to take you. Brenda Haas is out there, of course, doing Super So Sunday stuff. She's on Garden Chat, hashtag Garden Chat. And I know for you folks who are not on Twitter and Facebook, I could be speaking in Portuguese right now. And you say, huh? But there's really a lot of folks who follow this. And there's different crowds. I've discovered there's the Twitter crowd and then there's the Facebook crowd. And the twain shall never meet. It's really weird. But I'm supposed to know. And then there's the...
Well, don't forget Pinterest. And I mean, all the kids are on Pinterest now.
Well, remember we talked about Snapchat.
And Snapchat.
I got on Snapchat.
I
still have the two people who... The one who asked me to be on Snapchat and the 26-year-old I do caroling with. In the Frozen Robins, that's it. Nobody else has approached me about Snapchat. So obviously, I don't qualify. I'm not hip enough to be on Snapchat. Probably not Pinterest. And then there's Pinterest, and as you said, Instagram.
And Vine. I'm digging the Vine these days.
What?
It's a seven-second.
7-second video.
My favorite one is the little corgi twerking. I know for you. It's adorable.
Wait.
Well, so Twitter bought a company, and their product is called Vine, and it's a 7-second. Anybody can post it. It's just a 7-second video.
But that's kind of like Snapchat. You get like a 10-second video, and then it disappears forever. Mm-hmm. The Vine doesn't disappear forever.
It's preserved.
Yeah.
Encased in amber. forever
much,
and ever.
Much to your parents' embarrassment.
I know.
Once you're starting to look
That's
for a job.
The other thing about this. Folks, kids, hey, kids.
Gather
around the radio. Let me tell you something about reputations, okay? Even on radio, you got to be careful what you say because it floats around there in the atmosphere for a long, long time.
Well, let's not get started on NSA.
NSA. NSA. Woohoo! All right.
Anyway, now we're wound up.
What a country.
We have guests in the studio.
I know we do, and I'm just being very rude. So let's go back to Julie Rizzo. It's wonderful to have you and Debbie Coble in the studio. I need to start with you, Julie, because since we last talked, which was in 2010, which seems like a million years ago, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It seems like a long time ago, yeah.
It was. You were just getting rolling in recycled granite. I look back now and I say, I should have bought a franchise. I should have gotten a franchise. I actually thought about it. I thought, I got to do this. This is going to work. And it has worked.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got like 35
network members. Yes. Yeah. And
what does that mean to be a network member?
I license my business model versus franchising it. So you just kind of buy a license and I teach you how to recycle the granite in your market.
In my basement?
Some people have worked out of their basements. It's okay.
Because if it's in my basement, that's cool. I can do it. Maybe my garage.
You'd have pretty big legs from carrying the stone up and down the stairs. But, I'll do whatever you want to do. So, okay. Well, thanks for letting you. Your show was my first radio show I'd ever done. So that was amazing. Thank you for letting me do that.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm so often people's first. Just to tie back to our aphrodisiac conversation.
You were going back to that.
Yeah. And so did you know that stone has cleavage? And it's very hard. When I was listening as I was coming in, you know. So, yeah, just to throw you off a little bit.
Okay. For you
well,
people.
You know, we are ending the today's day. You know, anybody watching the NFL, I'm sure there'll be lots of, you know, cleavage and beer ads. So we may as well just be part of that show.
Underpaid cleavage, I might add. I love the fact that the cheerleaders are standing up and say, all right, dudes, you're making millions. Well, we're making nothing. I say walk. Get out, you know?
Yeah.
But the problem is there's other women who'll just step right in and be abused and, you know, shortchanged. But I hope they win. They should be unionized, cheerleading union, and they should be paid a living wage. Yikes. You were talking about, okay, how does granite have cleavage?
I'd have to talk to the geologist who told me that. He was... went into depth, very, you know, talked about everything about the stone, and I don't remember. I know my youngest stone is over 7 million years old, though. So when you're buying stone from us, the youngest one is 7 million years old.
And what? Really?
Yeah. Oh, and some of our stones are over a billion years old. So dinosaurs have walked on our material, and it's just amazing. So to take that material that is just being thrown into a landfill and turn it into, you know, numerous sellable products is amazing while creating green jobs and, you know, diverting all that waste.
All right. Explain how you do that.
We pick up granite from granite fabricators, and they're leftovers from the cutoffs from the countertop industry. So
it's basically what drives granite. It's not construction materials for building. Is it?
Yeah, there are. You know, it goes into countertops or bathrooms and buildings on walls. All of our buildings, if you go up and down the streets of Chicago and everywhere throughout the country, they're veneered with granite or with stone and marble. Mm-hmm. So we recycle all that material. I get calls from all over the country. These construction companies want me to come and pick it up to they don't want to throw it in a landfill. So that's what's important about having my network is that if I have someone close to that location, they can pick up that material and divert it and, you know, turn it into something.
And so you take this material and I imagine it's the odd sizes. It's the leftovers when they do the cutting.
It is.
Some of it is still in great shape.
Oh, most of it is in great shape, yeah. So think of a slab of granite is usually about 50 by 120. That's for your countertop. And when you cut the countertop out of it, you have these little cutoff pieces. But those are the pieces that we can use for our processes. We make the landscaping pavers, split stone veneer tiles, you know, wine stoppers. We have Goodwill's going to start a jewelry line. And these are all, you know, high-value products that make money for everybody. So my network has already diverted over 30 million pounds of waste in just 3 years.
Isn't that an amazing statistic? Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
And 30 million pounds of waste that would have gone to landfills and sat there until the end of time, basically.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, having Goodwill on, Goodwill is this partnership will hopefully help us grow on a national level much faster, because they have so many workers that need jobs or that they employ, and my processes are extremely easy to do. So I teach them how to do it, and Debbie's going to head that up. She's the first one in the country to ever do this. So.
See, and I think that if people heard about this casually, they might get the wrong idea that you're going to start selling your products. That the cooperation between was that, you know, you're bringing your products to Goodwill. But the point is, the people, Debbie, that you yes. work with at Goodwill are going to start making these products via the process that Julie Rizzo has started.
Exactly.
And so how did you guys get to know each other, and how did this happen?
Well, our vice president of retail sales belongs to Rotary over in Merrillville, Indiana. And he came bringing me back Julie's card. And he said, this was really neat. You need to check this out. And so I got online, looked at it, and we went over and visited. And it took a while because we had to get some things in place on our side. Mm-hmm. And in December, we said, we're on board. This makes sense. Goodwill is all about being environmentally friendly. We're very big on – we were green before green was the color to
I know.
Be.
That's the thing I love about Goodwill is – and I talked about it in the first hour very briefly, but at some point I want to get into the whole mm-hmm. textile
sure.
thing, because you're one of the few places where you can actually take I'm – you know, maybe we'll get to that in a second, because I'm just amazed that when people throw, I go out into the alley and they've thrown away a whole wardrobe. That's just nutty.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. Mm-hmm. But back to the work with Julie Rizzo. Mm-hmm.
Well, and within Goodwill, there's 165 different Goodwills across the United States. We all have territories that we can choose.
Not 165 stores, but
165 entities.
How does that work?
We have an office in Rockville, Maryland that is Goodwill Industries International, and they're kind of the overseers. We don't report to them directly, but they mm-hmm. serve as a clearinghouse type. And many, many years ago, they set up the boundaries for the different Goodwills, and just like any business, there's been mergers and all this type of thing as we've gone on with the economy. And so within your territory, you can decide what you want to do to serve the needs of the community. And so within ours, we serve one of the populations that we serve are the ex-offenders. Those men and women are coming back from prison who need to get good, relevant work experience and understand the rules of going to work, especially if they've been put away for a long time. Mm-hmm. We're going to be using this whole process as a means to give them that relevant work experience so that then when they're ready to go out into the community and find a job, they have a resume that demonstrates the ability to produce, to follow the rules, and to say, I'm ready to become self-sufficient and make a living.
I'm interested in that whole model of Goodwill where individual what do you call it? each of the
organizations.
Or each of the organizations
yes.
within Goodwill.
Yes.
Have some freedom to choose their mission.
We do, because no one, and across the country, all the needs are so different. Most of us serve folks with disabilities at different levels. And so, for example, within our Goodwill Industries of Michiana, based in South Bend, Indiana, we serve individuals who are able to work in the community. They may need some extra assistance with a job coach who actually goes alongside them and teaches them the job, but they will be able to perform in the community. Versus some other Goodwills have what's called sheltered workshops. And these are folks that will, because of their disabilities, they are better off served by the guardian's choice to stay within a more protective environment where they can perform work based upon their ability.
All right. So getting to recycled granite, what kind of jobs are they learning? What's the process that you employ? Do you cut? Do you crush? Do you do various things?
We cut and we split with hydraulic presses. And I have a green abilities program that I started a few years ago. I brought in individuals with disabilities between the ages of 18 and 22, high school students, and just started this trial program to see if they could do it. Because my process is very monotonous, and I know that many individuals with autism like repetitive work. So I tried it out with 75 students, and 95% of them passed every single process of my job. And Deb came out and saw an installation. It was the first time my workers had ever done an installation for the split stone tile on a massive veneer wall, and they did the whole wall with zero experience. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's. I think if you give people a chance, they'll be able to do it. So everyone told me, no, they can't do it. And I just ran with it. So, and, you know.
But people have been telling you, no, it's not going to work for a long time,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah. And, you know, my innovation is recognized in the U.S. Congressional Record, which is a part of history now. So you can go in the halls of Congress and see my name in recycling granite. So it's not just Julie playing with rocks. Yeah, it's Julie making a difference for the people of our country.
Although Julie playing with rocks sounds funnier.
and I play with lots of rocks.
Yeah. So. and that is Julie Rizzo, who is the founder of Recycled Granite. We're also Debbie Coble, from president and CEO of Goodwill Industries of Michiana, are in the studio. I see Amtrak Tim is called. We'll get to you in a second, Amtrak Tim. But let's talk about that work just for a second. How dangerous is it?
You know, it's not dangerous at all. The saw is very protective. You're 3 feet away from it when you're cutting the stone, so it's really, really easy. Your hands aren't in the way. And, you know, even though I think people with disabilities, they have so many abilities. Many of my people can't read and write, but they can speak, and some of them can't speak very well. It's about identifying the ability in the person. Some people can cut stone. Some of my workers are excellent in cutting stone, and other ones are better on the stone presses. So it just depends on what their ability is and identifying that. And that's why I like Goodwill so much, because they help people find their abilities, and that's what we want to do.
It's just amazing. So how have you begun the actual process of getting these people to cut the stone yet?
No, we've just gotten our electricity up and ready. We've gotten a couple machines, and so we're waiting on.
So are you constructing a special facility for this?
It's housed within one of the facilities we already have.
Uh-huh.
And so we're just in the process of getting all the equipment. And we've started collecting our granite already. And so as soon as the machines are in and we're trained, we're ready to go.
And where will this stuff go then?
We will sell around the South Bend area and the surrounding communities. So generally about an hour away is kind of your radius, because the cost to transport is so expensive.
Of course, it's so heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's another way that buying local makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, that's why I started the networking situation, because it doesn't make sense for me to ship granite from California all the way out to Indiana and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, you know, California and New York, I'm getting so many orders for those markets, but the shipping costs more than the material costs. So I need people in those networks or in those markets to recycle the
granite.
You're
continuing to expand.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Yeah. We'll be international within 6 months. We'll have about 2 international locations.
Whoa.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Lisa, let's put some cash together. And I think we got to get involved in this somehow. There's got to be a way. It just almost sounds too good to be true. But it also highlights the fact that if you're not in all the markets yet, that granite is still being shipped to those places. So there's still a lot of expense.
Oh, you have no idea. Yeah, it's crazy. There's so much granite. Anytime a network member joins, the first thing they do is they start collecting the stone, and they realize that there's just so much everywhere, mm-hmm. that it's just overwhelming. And it's true. There's almost 1 billion pounds thrown away every year. And I was just at the Stone Expo last week in Vegas. And
I go to that one all the time.
You see these?
I got bored. It's too much.
Too much weight.
Hey, I go all the
time. I see these little pieces of stone that are on the walls, you know, that they're selling. And I'm thinking, why are we importing that stuff into this country when we have so much of it? All we have to do is get the saws. So we're working on that, too. You know, these are specialty saws.
Well, why is that the case? It's just because people are used to doing things the old way?
Yeah, old school. It's the same reason. You know, who looked at a plastic bottle and said, oh, I can make money from that? No,
they make suits out of plastic bottles now.
It's just a different way to think. And I think differently all the time. So it's just working.
Well, and I'm sitting here thinking, what else are we wasting? What else are we throwing away? I mean, this is kind of a no-brainer to just
We have the expert in the room sitting right over there. Debbie, what else are we wasting? What else that you find going into Goodwill?
Well, we find all kinds of things besides the basic textiles that you talked about, but any type of wares. We also have a project with Dell where we get recycled computers. If your computer doesn't work or a component, you bring it to Goodwill, and then we teach logistics.
I'm going to show you something. See this?
It's
That's duct tape that's holding this computer together
Mike is holding up his laptop.
So this might end up in your place.
That would be wonderful. Yeah. We can make good use of it. So, and different, I mean, wire, copper wire, all the different things that are going on, plastics. We really are constantly looking for different markets so that we are putting less and less into the landfill.
Well, okay, let's talk about plastics for a second. What can you do with plastics?
Well, first of all, we try to sell them if they are possible. We resell them to put them towards our mission of helping people go to work.
Like what kind of plastics? I mean, because when people, when I say plastic, I know that 98% of people sitting in the show think plastic bottle.
Right.
It's like, what the heck can you do with a plastic bottle?
Well, we don't collect those from the public. We try to recycle those internally from our employees.
Right.
But we're talking about things like Tupperware or the Little Tykes. We get a lot of Little Tyke toys donated to us after the kids have outgrown them. There's a lot of plastic in that. Mm-hmm. First of all, those are big resellers because Little Tykes is not cheap and you can't destroy it. So that's great.
It will survive a nuclear attack.
It will, yes. Put it with the Twinkie. But if we can't, then we have individuals then that will come and buy it by the pound or by the ton or something along those lines. And then it goes off and they do with it what they do to recycle and repurpose so that it doesn't go end up in the landfill. And then we get money, once again, that goes back to helping our mission of helping people go to work.
All right. Let's take that phone call. You've got your headsets on. I always do this with trepidation when Amtrak Tim is... Whoops, I didn't mean to do that. I meant to do this one. Tim, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys.
What did you want to know about?
Well, the question I've got is, granite is radioactive because it contains a certain amount of uranium and thorium. And I was curious, as you're cutting this granite, is there a radon monitoring for the amount of off-gassing of radon from this granite? Because, you know, granite is radioactive.
Yeah,
is there any radiation protection from the workers?
I invited the Indiana Department of Environmental Management and OSHA into my shop to test all of that, and we're clear on all levels. So that would hold true for every granite fabricator throughout the country and also every granite countertop in the United States and all over. So I think IDEM and the EPA also, everybody. I mean, I've cleared everything with everyone.
I don't know what's going on with the phones. We're getting a terrible echo on there, so I'm bringing you down, Tim. But I wanted to let you know, because I'm sure you're going to have a follow-up. Next week, at this very hour, I'm going to have folks from the Thorium Energy Alliance and from the American Nuclear Society to talk about thorium energy. It is your dream come true, Tim.
Finally.
Yes, and so I imagine you'll be calling for that as well.
I certainly look with bated breath.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting discussion. So you better make yourself available. If that's the show you don't show up for, you're in big trouble, pal.
I'll be there, Mike. Don't
All right.
worry about it.
All right. Take care. Thanks. A great question. Thanks for calling. 773-763-9278, by the way, is our telephone number, 773-763-WCPT. I'm going to make some money for myself here. And when we come back, I want to talk about the textiles thing a little bit and anything else that we might have missed about granite recycling. I want to let people know first that I was cruising the Landreth Seed Co. Facebook page, and that's what you type in to get there, Landreth Seed Co. And I came across something that made me think of spring and summer. Lacinato kale, but I know it, and you might know it, as dinosaur kale. Sarah, have you ever grown dinosaur kale?
I've done kales, but I don't. That's the really wrinkly one.
Yeah,
no, I haven't done that one.
Dark green. Oh, I love dinosaur kale. It's really tough stuff. It's good. It's also known as Tuscan kale or black palm tree cabbage. This Italian heirloom is probably the Cavolo Nero, described in a book in 1885. Italian immigrants brought this kale to the United States in the mid to late 1800s. Though I discovered it personally about a decade ago, the plant grows to about 2 feet, topped with 10 to 12 inch long frond-like leaves. It has a sweet, mild flavor. It's extremely heat and cold tolerant. In hardiness zones 5 and higher, It can be grown year round. That's our area, actually. It probably not this winter, but most winters. It can be eaten fresh, slightly wilted, sauteed, or boiled with corned beef. And it looks cool. It looks prehistoric. Why do you think they call it dinosaur kale? Consider that or the potatoes we talked about last week or the tomatoes the week before and more. They're all at LandrethSeeds.com or their Facebook page, Landreth Seed Co. Or call 800-654-2407, 654-2407. It's time to be thinking about the growing season. It is Super Sow Sunday, after all. D. Landreth Seed Company, purveyor of fine seeds since 1784.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I don't want you to be left out. Here's what I'm talking about. Each month, more people turn to Natural Awakening Chicago to improve their lives than any other health or wellness magazine. If you're a green, natural health, or wellness business, you should be part of the leading sustainability resource in the country. Natural Awakenings is packed with information that our readers use to find the products and services they need to live happier, healthier lives. Natural Awakenings is available for free each month throughout the city and north and northwest suburbs. We're placed in more than 1,100 area locations, ensuring the right eyes read about your products and services. We're also online at nachicagonorth.com. We're local, we're independent, and our readers will help you grow your business. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Today's music is brought to you by Sarah Becca.
Yay!
Yeah, it's a Stones Fest here.
And, oh, for Granite.
Yeah. Get it? Stones?
Yeah.
Granite? Wait, 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 wait. Thank you. All right. In the studio, I'm very pleased to have Julie Rizzo from Recycled Granite. By the way, that is recycledgranite.com. Easy enough to remember. Also, Debbie Coble, President and CEO, Goodwill Industries of Michiana, Inc., just over the border. And happy, you know, I got a lot of folks in Indiana listen to the show. So we do reach over there, and I'm always happy to have folks from that neck of the woods come by. Now, actually kind of following up on what Amtrak Tim was talking about there, it's uh-oh, yeah, see, you can see my computer. I just heard the power thing. The power is this thing is dying on me. I gotta shut it down. If I don't shut it down, it won't it's the everything is just going bad here. But getting back to the inherent dangers of working with almost any substance like this. There's dust.
There is.
Associated with sawing granite and pulverizing it and doing whatever you do with it. And that is silica dust, is it not?
It is, yeah. And that's why it was important for me to bring in OSHA and, you know, Indiana Department of Environmental Management. And when my network members start, too, it's always a good idea to bring in the top dog so they can tell us exactly what's required, because it's really important that we follow every single rule. So our workers wear silica dust mask protection, ear protection, and also goggles. So we do everything by the book.
I would assume you would. And, of course, you have to train people about that, of being safe. I mean, it's you know, what's the alternative? Throw the stuff away, have 30 million pounds in landfill?
Well, and the granite fabricators are using it, too. And there's so many of those people who don't even follow the rules and things. But, you know, this stuff is mined all over the world. And there is no dust protection when they're mining this stuff and sawing it in quarries all over the world. So my goal is to put myself out of business. I don't want people to have granite countertops. I don't want granite to be mined. I want it, you know, I want us to use other substances for countertops and everything because we're just destroying the world. And I know that seems counterproductive, but
I love the idea that you want to put yourself out of business. I think that's going to end up in a tweet. I want to put myself out of business.
Oh, no. Is that bad?
No, that's a good thing. No. It's an absolutely good thing. And I'm sure Ron Cowgill from Mighty House is listening. I saw a tweet from him earlier. And it makes me wonder what the alternative is. People want granite because is that the countertop of choice?
It is. Yeah. 70-80% of the people still want granite countertops. There's 20-25% who want quartz countertops, which is the crushed up stuff that is from the quarries overseas. They crush it all up and they do pour it into slabs and it's add a bunch of chemicals to it to make it antibacterial, antimicrobial and all that stuff.
Is that better or worse or the same? Is it just different problems with that?
We're still destructing the world to come up with the countertop source. And I just don't, for me personally, I don't like that idea. So, but you know, we have plenty of wood that's fallen off of trees. There's many other things that we can use. So,
well, and if you've ever been over to Chicago Center for Green Technology, they have so many great examples of recycled materials that have been turned into countertops, flooring, you name it. You know, we throw away tons of glass every day and all kinds of, you know, concrete. And, you know, there's tons of things that we're also pulling, you know, not only out of job sites, but also, you know, out of our own lives that can be recycled, you know, metals that can be added into, and it creates really beautiful finishes. So if you are, you know, planning a kitchen remodel or redoing the bathroom floor, you know, I strongly encourage you to look at those alternative materials because I agree with you completely, Julie. We have got to stop digging this stuff out of the ground.
Yeah. You know, I had some glass or recycled glass countertops that I took and ran through my hydraulic splitter and split it, and it is stunningly beautiful. It's gorgeous.
It's mesmerizing. Oh, actually. I find I don't want to take my eyes off.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful stuff. So yes, I think that's a great recommendation for people. It's awesome.
All right, yeah, put yourself out of business. It works for me.
By the way, Ron Cowgill did tweet that that the radon issue was really made up by the quartz countertop manufacturers trying to create, you know, as we know, competitive advantage by putting fear and apparently, according to Ron, those traces of radon were very, very minimal.
They were. And there's radon in bananas. So there's radon in every single thing.
I had a banana for breakfast.
Well, there you go. You're contaminated.
That's why you glow so beautifully today.
That explains
in the dark. Ron Cowgill.
Not to say that Amtrak Tim doesn't have some concerns. I think we need to walk into any material handling wisely and think about what the human implications are, what the resource implications are, whether we are mining it for this first time or recycling it at the end of use. We need to think about what's the greater impact of everything we're using on this very tiny planet.
Yeah.
And just to make it clear that I want to put myself out of business, granite is the oldest building construction or building material in history, and we've been mining it and working with it for over 2,500 years. So I got another 1,000 years before I'm going to go out of business, just to be clear. I mean, we're going to continue. These stone councils, these big stone companies are global companies. And
I know. You know, and that's the thing. When you say that, it's almost, you know, it's a wish, but there are forces, there's inertia, there's momentum. These are businesses that will look at you and just pat you on the head and smile and say, no, we're just going to keep digging it up.
Yeah, I hope I don't get crushed or hit by a car when I get out of here for saying any bad things.
No. You said, you know what? You gotta speak the truth. Yeah. And that is that even though you're in the business, what you're pointing out is that almost all businesses have something associated with them that isn't healthy. And now the other thing you mentioned, oh, and by the way, I wanted to give Ron Cowgill a plug for and thank him for that, that message.
Yeah, thank you, Ron.
Yeah. He is the chief cook and bottle washer for Mighty House Saturdays on Chicago's Progressive Talk. From 8 to 11 a.m.
And also has his own construction company,
yes.
DR Industries.
And that's the other thing. When you hear DR on my show, that's Ron Cowgill.
That's Ron Cowgill.
I couldn't recommend anybody more highly than I recommend Ron Cowgill. He's ridiculously scrupulous.
Well, because your house certainly throws him many challenges.
If I didn't have Ron Cowgill, I would be living in a cardboard box on Fullerton Avenue right now. All right? Just want to get that out there. Something you mentioned during the break, though, Julie, was that you're thinking of fertilizer with granite dust?
Yeah, so we have some granite dust as our remnants. We already recycle our sand. You know, we're doing some cement mixes and things like that. But we have this granite dust that's left over. And I've done a little bit of research, and granite dust can be used as fertilizers. And your listeners are obviously master gardeners and know everything about that. I was wondering if they could share any of their knowledge, if they had any, about the granite dust situation for as a natural fertilizer. They're using it all over the world, so we're going to explore that.
I was not familiar with that, so what I'm going to do is put out a plea to my listeners. And if they want to write to me, mike@mikenovak.net, or if you want to send a note to the Mike Novak Show on Facebook or tweet something so we can get in touch. I'd like to learn more about this. I'm going to have to do a little research on this. I mean, you might as well use every bit of it that is available.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we pull stone from all over the world. I mean, every single country that mines stone, we get, our mixes are huge. And we have all these different minerals in our mix. So it definitely has some value. And it's our job to figure that out. I hope to tap into some colleges to do some testing in the agriculture department to, you know, mix it with some growth, with some seeds and things like that, just to see. It's worth a try. It's definitely worth some R&D, I think.
Let's move to Debbie, because I do want to have this discussion briefly. One of the things I've become aware of over the years is how hard it is to recycle textiles in our country, and it seems nutty, doesn't it?
It does. You have so many places that you can take them and get them reused that it's crazy to throw them in the trash.
Yeah, and yet I see stuff thrown in the trash in my neighborhood all the time. I just don't get that. You know, if you're doing that, obviously you're not getting your tax credit. So put it in a box and leave it at Goodwill, and you don't even have to get a receipt if you just want to, you know, give them the stuff. What kinds of stuff do you accept?
Well, our particular Goodwill, we will take, and the textiles, we're really not picky. Anything, because we will, if it has holes in it or if it's stained, we can still use it because of the fact that we have buyers then that will take what we can't sell in the store, and then they will either send it to third world countries. So when you see the little boy with a Nike shirt on CNN, yeah, more than likely that's how it got there. Or they will take it and repurpose it and so that it can be reused in other things. But it does stay out of the landfill.
Well, so that's good to know, because I have gone through items and said, okay, this is stained. No one wants to wear it. I'm embarrassed. I have a pair of sweatpants that I've worn for 15 years. The seam is completely gone from where the elastic is at the top.
Careful.
I mean, there's so many holes. There's more holes in it than a garment is supposed to have. And so I don't know what to do with it. And so I've been wanting to find some place where I can take those kinds of rags, because I don't want that to end up. But I don't know where to put them. So that's a really good. Do I separate them for like good things that I think will that help?
I would check with your local Goodwill first, because different Goodwills, like I said, there's 165 of us across the United States, and different ones will want different things. Separating, no. I can tell you that. For us, just throw it all in there and we'll separate it. Because if you separate it, then you're taking a job away from somebody who's learning how to go to work.
Okay.
So
I'm so embarrassed about the quality of some of the things. Aww. But there are my, you know,
you don't
your
have to put your name on the box,
no.
You know?
I know. But you know that T-shirt that's your favorite T-shirt to wear to bed, you know?
Yes.
Until it becomes a rag and it's no longer.
This T-shirt was owned by Lisa Albrecht.
I'm thinking of my husband's work shirts that, you know, they're threadbare and you really,
careful.
It's embarrassing for you to see them around the house.
And I think that's a great point, because there are a lot of contractors who listen to us and people who are working, you know, out in gardens and out in farms, and those garments do, you know, get threadbare or just so stained that they really have to go somewhere. But, it's great to know.
Now, as you say, different Goodwills accept different things.
Right.
What's the difference between what a Goodwill does and a St. Vincent de Paul and a Salvation Army?
Mission. It's where they put their resources from the items that they sell in the store. And so for us, it is taking people who need work experience and they need assistance in learning how to go to work. whether it's soft skills, whether it's some hard skill training, those types of things. That is our main focus versus the Salvation Army, depending upon their location. They're going to our Salvation Army in our territory works more with men who are fighting alcoholism. And that's their primary focus along with some other things. And then St. Vincent de Paul will actually work. They have the food pantry. They work with the poor and those types of things. So it really is all about all very worthwhile organizations. It's just where their money goes once it's sold.
But what's the difference in terms of collecting clothing, say, for instance? I mean, can you say you'll take pretty much anything in any shape. Mm-hmm. Will these other organizations do the same?
I would check with them first because I know in our particular area, we don't take large appliances, but the Salvation Army will. Mm-hmm. We don't have a means of disposing them properly. Mm-hmm. And so,
but you'll take televisions?
We'll take televisions because we have the proper means to dispose
of
those.
But not more than 10 years old.
So we'd prefer not to, but we're not going to turn it down. But that's our goodwill in the Michiana area,
right.
Northwest Indiana.
Yeah, because I was on your page looking at that. Yeah.
So we prefer not to, but if you bring it, we're not going to send you away.
Because the point I'm making here is people don't know that there are places they can take their clothing and textiles, and there are for-profit groups. When you see the Gaia boxes, when you see Use Again, those are for-profit agencies, and frankly, and I know you probably don't want to go down this road, they operate under a cloud, all right? There are, first of all, they're making money and giving the impression, even though if you talk to them, they say, oh, no, we're for profit. They're giving the impression that they are doing it good works and that it's going to go to good causes. But when you see investigations and when you see news stories of these operations, they don't usually follow through with that. That money does not go to those causes.
What we like to say, and we're working on some things in our area because we are seeing a lot of those for-profit boxes coming up, but there's some things that you need to remember. You know, you need to be knowledgeable and know where your donation is going, because one of our biggest concerns is people may be donating items into those boxes thinking they can take it off on their taxes. You can't, because those are for-profit boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And we mentioned with the granite, buy local, shop local. Well, if you're going to shop local, donate local. Know the organization, whether it's St. Vincent Salvation Army, Goodwill. Granted, Goodwill would love to have it all.
Yeah.
But know your organization and know what your passion is so that you know where your money is going when you're donating those items, because it's your money that's going to change a life because you're donating, and then they can resell it and then put the money back into mission.
That's a really good point. Now, let's tie this all back together, and you're going to have your folks working on the granite products, but by the same token, from what I understand, as kind of an experiment, you're going to be selling some of those products in the store?
We are. We're going to. So people love...
Like what, for example?
I think what we're looking at probably first off is some of the landscaping type of things, like flower boxes and those items. The other thing, and wine stoppers and different items like that. Down the road, we're actually looking at partnering with a transitional house for ex-offenders who already does some jewelry making. And so we want to take the jewelry from the granite recycling and partner with them, once again, giving job opportunities.
Isn't that jewelry going to be really heavy?
No, no, it's gorgeous and it's beautiful. So
what kind of stuff do you make out of granite?
Cosmos is one of our stones that we use that we can split into. Because I have this special hydraulic splitter, it splits it perfectly. And we have little techniques that tumbling techniques that we've established. And a lot of people don't realize that there are garnets in a lot of the countertops that people are just too busy to even and look at. I have the 2-carat garnets in like 100 of them in 1 square foot of countertop. It's amazing. It's just shocking. So,
wow.
But they're not top grade, but they're lower grade, but they're still garnets. You know, it's beautiful stuff.
No wonder you showed up in a limo here today.
I didn't. Don't listen to Mike.
She says she's trying to quit her job. Not quit her job, but eliminate her job.
I'm pretty sure sitting next to her that she's not the limo kind of gal.
No, I'm not.
Not a woman who cuts stone herself.
Not because it's not something that she could afford, but not because it's not something that she would perhaps be interested in.
No, you know, you talk about cutting stone or doing this job. I've done every single aspect of my business. And when I first started, I didn't have the money to buy a forklift. So I physically moved over 1 million pounds of stone by hand. And by doing that, it taught me I learned about the granite and what stones would be better for jewelry and what stones would be better for split stone and all these other products that we make. So by physically doing that, I had to
teach
myself.
Can I see your biceps, please? Like,
later.
No,
will you go to the gym with me? That's where I'm going.
There you go.
Let's show some of those, you know.
Lisa, I think you want to work there.
They just eat plates, or, you know, lift those plates. I'll call them plate heads. So we can go check out and have a conversation with the plate heads.
That sounds good.
The plate heads. Okay. Well, listen, Julie Rizzo, Debbie Coble, thank you so much for being here and taking the time. It's fascinating. I mean, this is stuff that I think a lot of people don't know about.
No, they don't. It's groundbreaking. Thank you so much for having us. We really, really appreciate it.
Well,
Thank you.
Lisa, are we going to pull our resources and get ourselves
and invest in recycled granite?
I think it's a good idea. It's not a half bad idea.
I'm looking to divest and get some of my 401k money out of my, oil and nasty things that I'm embarrassed to say
exactly.
Is there.
Well, that's what happens when you have to check very carefully on that. All right. We got a couple of things we're going to wrap up with. I want to let you know first that here are some facts from the Care of Trees. Prepare to be amazed. Did you know that there are over 23,000 different kinds of trees in the world? A tree can absorb as much as 48 pounds of carbon dioxide per year and can sequester 1 ton of carbon dioxide by the time it reaches 40 years old. One large tree can lift up to 100 gallons of water out of the ground and discharge it into the air in a day. One large tree can provide a day's supply of oxygen for up to 4 people. Trees trap more of the sun's energy than any other group of organisms on Earth. They are, in essence, big batteries. Only 0.1% of the sun's energy is trapped by organisms, but trees account for 50% of that energy. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. Talk to a certified arborist at the Care of Trees. Call 800-508-9466, 800-508-9466, or see thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees.
If you've ever filed a lawsuit, you know that it can be stressful, even traumatic. And if you've been exposed to asbestos, silica dust, or other lung toxins, you're going to need a law firm that can guide you through the legal maze efficiently and effectively. The attorneys of Penn Rakowski are exactly who you're looking for. They view each client and their needs as unique. They're focused on one thing and one thing only, lung disease. And they're based right here in Illinois and Wisconsin. The lawyers at Penn Rakowski have been representing individuals suffering from lung disease and their families for a combined 35 years. And because they're local, they can come to you. They've successfully represented asbestos workers, electricians, carpenters, machinists, and others throughout both states. Contact Penn Rakowski at dustlaw.com or call them toll free at 888-LUNG-LAW. That's 888-586-4529. Penn Rakowski, local, committed, caring.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are 2 quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
Is that dropping out on YouTube? Wow, it plays and then it doesn't play. Yeah, it's probably me and the disc I put together. Julie wanted to call our attention to one. We got a couple of things. We had a phone call. What was it, Brad?
Yes, Brad from Rockford.
Wanted to know where he can get rid of his encyclopedias from the 70s. yes, Debbie?
I would have him check with his local Goodwill first before he just give him a holler and see if they would be willing to take those. And then if not, then you had another potential option
I would try Scarce, which is in the Chicago area. That stands for, I never remember. Yeah. What?
School recycling. I'll put it on Facebook.
It shows up on their page and then it goes away real quick if you get to their home.
They take crayons and all kinds of things.
There you go. School and community assistance for recycling and composting education. Go to www.scarceecoed.org. So it's scarceecoed.org. It's just, you know, type scarce in a search engine and it'll come up. And you, Julie, were going to mention something about Panera?
Yeah, you know, recycling granite is awesome. Just an example of sustainability from these larger companies who truly wanted to make a difference. Panera Bread just signed a contract with my network member, Earthstone, out of North Carolina, to do over 200 of their locations, their entrances, their patios throughout the country. And it's those bigger companies that will help these smaller companies make a difference and use sustainably manufactured products. So it's a great thing that's happening. So
that's cool. Yeah. That is really good. I want to do a follow up from last week. We were talking about speaking of silica, mm-hmm. the proposed frack sand mine, and they had the big meeting in Utica on Tuesday, and still not a vote. A vote was not taken. Ashley Williams, who was on the show last week, and I've posted this on MikeNovak.net this week's show. She says, I wanted to extend a heartfelt thank you to attorney Walt Zukowski, representing the mine opponents, for delivering a masterful closing argument at Tuesday's hearing, which drew a standing ovation from the crowd. And she also wants to thank Warren Munson and the entire Utica Planning Commission. They apparently took a stand. They unanimously recommended a no vote for the frack sand mine in Waltham Township. Here's the problem. It now needs to go to the village trustees, and they might take the advice of the planning commission, and they might not. And that's supposed to happen. The final vote will be on Wednesday, this Wednesday, February 5th, 6 p.m. once again at Grizzly Jack's Grand Bear Resort. I've got the link to that if you're interested. And Ashley Williams urges people to come by and stand firm, and, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Lisa, you were mentioning to me earlier about the, well, speaking of fracking and destructive
things that are happening in the environment. That we could spend, you know, hours on, but very disappointing this week to see the State Department come out a statement saying that the, you know, basically giving green light to Keystone, which is incredibly frustrating and disappointing. I do also have a note.
But that was not surprising.
You know,
the thing's half built anyway. I mean, they're going to say, well, it's done. Right. You know, we might as well just turn on the spigot.
Well, and I saw some quotes from some of our leaders in Washington. And they said, you know, they basically said, well, you know, Canada's going to mine this stuff anyway, and they're going to yank this, you know, the tar sands out of the ground. So whether the United States builds a pipeline is, you know, neither here nor there in terms of the environment. And I hear that. But let this be Canada's problem. Why should we risk all of our water and land and air? I mean, just look at the number. There were more oil spills and natural gas spills in the United States in 2013.
You know what the alternative, though? The alternative is that they will have to go through the Canadian Rockies.
Right. Exactly. They have a
and that's
big
what I, and
problem.
I say too,
Let
yeah.
it be their problem. Let
exactly.
them build refineries off their coastlines. Why do we want to destroy, you know, our entire Gulf Coast? Why should that be? Because the oil, trust me, folks, it's not staying here. It's not staying here. It's not going to help America.
I heard a news story.
Ooh, I'm wound up.
Yeah, I know you are. I'm watching the news the other day, and I got to tell you, it was Channel 9. And they were doing, you know, their 20 seconds on the Keystone XL. And whoever wrote the copy said, it will make gas prices go down. The reason, you know, they want to do this is to lower gas prices in the United States. And I'm going, what?
Myth.
What?
Myth.
I mean, who wrote that?
No,
you guys are supposed to be a news organization.
So
what
that
the heck?
Big oil companies can sell their product in the emerging markets, which is China, India, the South Americas, it's not so that it will be so
right. It's
here.
Not going to happen here.
All,
no.
We are bearing all the risk and are gaining none of the benefit. It's the dumbest thing ever. Sure, if they're going to destroy the tar sands, let them, but don't bring it here.
And the thing is about pipelines.
Which also brings
they
up
all
the Petcoke issues.
They all leak. All of them.
So
every single one of them.
I also wanted to give a quick call out because the Southeast Environmental Task Force will be delivering petitions on Friday, February 7th to City Hall. I do know that...
Yeah, they're kind of backing off on that, too. The state, we talked about that a little
bit. We have, 30 seconds here. But there's also a rally that's happening tomorrow. For the life of me, I can't think of where it is. I will post it
against Keystone XL.
Keystone XL.
And the thing I want to say real quick is that there's been stories about monarch butterflies and their disappearance. And guess what? The Farm Bill is going to be approved, and it's going to have fewer acres devoted to habitat restoration. So... guess where we're going with that? Sorry. It was good to know you, late, great monarch butterfly. Yeah. On that wonderful note, go green or...
go home. Mm.